Well, Jesus really taught this tough stuff, didn't he? Love your enemies. I was just talking to an older gentleman this week and he said he doesn't have any enemies. And I said, wow, that's amazing. You must just really love everybody. And he goes, no, they all died. I've outlived them. You live long enough. But seriously, as I started to prepare for this message, I actually thought, I don't have any enemies. I love and accept everybody. But as I really delved into it a bit deeper, a few people came to mind, people who really hurt me in my past, and I would consider them my enemies today. So this message challenged me just as much. In particular, one woman came to mind. I was in a church about 8 years ago. She was a parishioner, and she was had quite good standing in the community and the local Christian school where I was networking. But she just didn't like me. For some reason, she was jealous, she was rude, she was mean, she'd say horrible, nasty things, she started spreading lies and rumours, and it was just an awful time. And so I went to her one day and I said, hey, look, I think maybe we've had a misunderstanding, could we get together and just talk it out, you know, maybe you have an issue with me and we can work it out. And she said, I don't have an issue with you, and she didn't want to meet. And she never came back to the church again, but she went to the next church, my old church, and spread all the rumours and lies there. So when I went back there too, I just found that out. This, and I started to be filled with hate for this woman. Like, you couldn't stop her. And I said to my family one day, I just wish she would get run over by a tractor. And they were horrified. They said, I thought you're Christian. That's not a very Christian thing to say. And I said, well, the Old Testament and the Psalms and everyone, you know, in those days, you can like vent. And it's okay and it's justified and you're allowed to feel that way. But again, this passage that we just heard read really challenged me today, because as Christians, we aren't meant to respond in that way or retaliate or feel hate. We're meant to actually love our enemies, love them, not just forgive them, but love them. And that really stood out to me. I thought, oh, I could forgive her. I don't think I really have, actually, because as I was picturing this woman, I thought, if she was like a beggar over the other side of the road, I wouldn't even cross the road to help her. I wouldn't acknowledge her. I would just walk on by. And I thought, I think I haven't even really forgiven her. Never mind love her. And so as I've been thinking about this, I thought, well, maybe if I actually did something in a loving way, an act of love towards her, then maybe those feelings would come. I think if anyone you're struggling to love or appreciate, especially your spouse, if you're having a bad day or a bad season, you fall in and out of love. If you actually do loving things for your partner, the feelings come back, the feelings of love come. So I'm starting to think, what could I do to love or bless this woman? I'm going to ponder that some more. But back to what Jesus was saying in this passage. He was speaking to the poorer people of his day, those who would have been sitting down to follow him. They were poor, they were under Roman leadership, Roman rulership, under a bit oppressed under them. And they would have been loved to hear Jesus talking about overthrowing the Romans and getting back their national pride. But no, he comes and preaches, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless them. Don't fight back. And he says, if someone punches you in the jaw, don't fight back. Don't retaliate. Don't surrender to evil. Two wrongs don't make a right. Don't repay evil for evil, but repay it with good. You know, many years ago when I was going through my own divorce, I met another woman who was dealing with similar struggles, but she was amazing. She was so calm. So her ex-husband was a bit crazy. He was stealing from her. He was spreading rumours, telling lies, making life really, really, really hard for her. But she was always so calm. And I said, how can you stay so calm? And she would just say, you know, the truth always prevails in the end. The truth always comes out in the end. And so she didn't worry about what he was saying or what was doing. She trusted that God would make everything right in the end. And she could go through that with poise and calm. And here I am, anxious and fretting about my situation. But she was a great witness to me in the way that she faced her enemies, the way that she carried herself through that time. She didn't retaliate. She didn't get worried. She didn't get stressed. She just kept being a witness in that time. And I'm sure you can think of someone that you've met who can just stay in control, stay calm, when someone's, you know, really giving them a hard time, really being an enemy to them, and they just can hold their own and be loving and forgiving and show that agape love in that time. Because that's the love that Jesus is calling his people to live out. That agape love is not deserved love. It's not giving a love because that other person deserves it. It's a love that is undeserved, but it's given because the giver wants to give that love. The receiver doesn't deserve it, but the giver wants to give that love. And if we can go through life treating our enemies with such a love that isn't deserved, we'll be amazing witnesses for him. Can you imagine? Can you think of someone who's been an amazing witness in your life just by holding their own when they've faced really hard times? I can think of Jesus and the examples that he set. Look at Jesus when he washed Judas's feet just before Judas was going to betray him. That's amazing that he could be loving and kind towards Judas even though he knew what was coming. When he healed that ear of a man that Peter cut off a guy's ear when they came to arrest Jesus, and Jesus healed it. And then he allowed his enemies to brutally beat him and crucify him and died so that his enemies could receive forgiveness. So we all could. That's forgiveness, that's love, that's agape love. It's undeserved. And we are called to live out that same love as his disciples, as his representatives, as his witnesses, to be loving and forgiving towards our enemies. And people notice when we do that. And they notice when we don't. You might have heard Gandhi once said, he goes, I like your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Let that not be so with us. May we grow more like Christ each and every day, loving and forgiving our enemies, blessing those who curse us. Even on the road rage, if someone like cuts you off and like is yelling at you or rude, I just wave and smile. Bless you. God bless them. We don't need to retaliate. We pray for those who mistreat us. We don't fight back. We treat others the way that we want them to treat us. Not the way they do treat us, but the way that we want them to treat us. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. Be the leader. Set the example. Raise the bar. Be like Joseph, who never stopped loving his brothers and forgave them, even after they wronged him so wrongfully and changed his whole life. He forgave them, he loved them, he blessed them. He acknowledged God had a bigger picture in all that. And they were reconciled, which is the best possible outcome of being loving towards your enemies. I'm a strong believer that showing love and grace towards those who hurt us helps bring about repentance in them quite often, not always. I know it doesn't always. And so I just want to say briefly here, if you're in an abusive relationship, I'm not saying that's okay to keep loving and just being a doormat in that respect. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do in that situation is to leave or get help, because enabling an abuser is not being loving for them. It's not helpful for you or for anybody else. And I think that needs to be said from the pulpit in this message as well. But you can still love them, just don't stay in an abusive situation to be really hurt. I heard a story the other day about a woman called Pascali, and she was a domestic violence survivor, and she thought she would never, ever, ever even speak or see her mother, who was her abuser, ever again during her adult life. However, in 2010, her mum suffered severe strokes and was unable to move or speak anymore. And with no one else to help, Pascali decided that she would go and just read to her mum, sit by her mum's bedside and read to her. And after doing this for some time, she said that those feelings of hate just left, and love and forgiveness replaced those feelings. So again, loving and doing good towards our enemies can bring repentance and also reconciliation. So let's just finish up with the rest of the things in this passage. There's so much in here. Picking up at verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them, and lend to them without expecting anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You know, there's a lot to be said about that too. I think if you lend money or anything, expecting it in return, and that return doesn't come as quickly as you'd hoped, you can actually lose control of yourself because you can't control the other person not repaying. My advice to everyone is don't ever lend anything that you are not willing to lose. I just take a set of plates to other people's houses. I don't mind if they don't come back. Money too. Never lend money that you actually really want back, just in case it doesn't come and it changes who you are, so you're not the loving person that God wants you to be. There's another sentence at the start of this passage. If someone takes your coat, offer them your shirt also. Now, Jesus isn't saying, look, you just give to everyone who asks. He's saying, yes, do that. But we can't have a heap of wealthy, well-dressed thieves and all God's people being poor and naked. He's not saying that. He's saying don't ever let your possessions or your money come before people. Give to those who ask. People should always come before your money. People are the only things that you can take to heaven with you. That's his teaching there. And then some little notes about not judging others. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That'll be poured into your lap. With the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. You know, God will judge us on how we treat others. So we need to really focus on how we're treating others as his followers. And I think this is a really hard teaching for us today. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we can come consistently treat others with positive regard and be like Jesus in these ways. And the more we receive God's love and forgiveness for ourselves, the more we will have to give out. We can only give what we've received. And when we realise how much God has given up for us, how can we not let it flow out of us towards others? So I'm just going to finish with one more story of Didier. Didier was an 11-year-old when he witnessed his mum shot on the street of Colombia. 38 times she was shot. Now this damaged this kid so severely, he just turned to alcohol and drugs and crime. And a few years later, he wanted to seek out the murderer and retaliate. But a friend took him to church one day, and he learned about Christ's love for him and his forgiveness and grace, and he decided to forgive the murderer that day. A while later, he saw that murderer sitting down on the street, and he went over to him and he hugged him and he said, I forgive you. It's amazing grace. And the more I think about it, that lady that I told you about at the start, that I don't even know if I'd walk over the same side of the street as her, I think after studying this passage, I think I would. I maybe need to go to her and say, I forgive you, and offer her a hug. And my question for you is, what do you need to do in response to the passage that we read today? In response to Jesus' commands in your life, Lewis B. Smead said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that prisoner was you. Let us pray. Lord, fill us afresh today with your love. Give us a fresh revelation of your mercy and your forgiveness and your grace for us and for all people. We remember that we were still sinners when you died for us. Help us to love and forgive others, even while they're sinning against us. We can't change them, and we can't make them repent, but we commit them into your care, asking you to heal them and bless them and forgive them. And may they come to see in us more of you. Help us to be witnesses for you. We pray this for your name's sake. Amen.